He's pro Stefanski.
I don't know what direction he's going to go.
He is.
I'm locked in.
Who knows? I mean, it's been a tough interview to prep for. I will say that.
He always throws us curveballs, too.
That's true. That's what we like about him.
In fact, I want to have Matt go back and find what he said about Harbaugh a couple weeks ago. Maybe it was even last week when we asked him about the possibilities of Harbaugh. Mm-hmm. So if memory serves me right, I think he was basically told us we're dreaming and that's it.
Yeah. Well, here's the problem. I don't remember multiple weeks ago. This is the great thing. My brain is like now an Etch-a-Sketch at 40.
Oh, yeah.
So
oh, that's fun.
I might remember a couple individual takes that I've had, but everything else, like I got kids' names. I remember my kids' names, and you know what? That's a real win for us.
No, we have like an all hands on deck meeting, and you got reminded of it earlier today, and you're like, I get an email on that. Like, did anything happen there? And it's like, not only do you have an email on it, you RSVP'd yes.
I clicked yes.
You did the whole everything.
I would say I probably was the first yes in the whole darn thing, but we got a lot of Brown stuff. Obviously, we mentioned Kevin Stefanski interviewing in New York today, but the names coming out, Jim Schwartz and Tommy Rees will interview for the Browns head coaching job. Dan Pitcher, Odd and Dirty. I'm trying to say it like Mark Hodges saying it. That sounds very English, so I'm trying to do that. Todd Monken, so many names, so little time. Let's get another one. Ashley Bastock at Cleveland.com on the Make It Right, Call Kyle Wright hotline. Joining us right now, Ashley, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, guys. I mean, man, with the way this week has gone already, I'm expecting some kind of news to break while we're on the air at this rate.
Honestly, well, you know it's going to break right about the time we actually get a hold of Albert Breer. That's when it's really going to happen. That's when it's really going to go, because that's when it went yesterday. I guess, what was your initial reaction on John Harbaugh, and how realistic or unrealistic do you think that might be for the Browns?
Yeah, that's an interesting question, right? Because I think on the surface level, it's unrealistic. I will say I was surprised yesterday, just like how the news came down. It happened so fast. I mean, it seemed like things were trending that way just from an outside observer who doesn't cover the Ravens, that it was certainly a possibility, but it was still surprising. I mean, he's been there, what, 18 years? Like, I think when you have that kind of longevity at a place, it's still an element of surprise. And now, when it comes to the possibility of John Harbaugh in Cleveland, I say unlikely on the surface, because you look at the landscape, and I think John Harbaugh instantly becomes the hottest coaching candidate this cycle. He's going to usurp Kevin Stefanski, who I think had the inside track to being that person. But now it's unquestionably John Harbaugh. And you look at the seven or so teams with openings, and I do think the Giants, for multiple reasons, is the biggest / most attractive job. A young quarterback who people feel pretty okay about. And I think when people look at these vacancies, they think the quarterback situation, you want to be as positive as you can about that if you are a head coach or a soon-to-be head coach that has your pick of jobs. Now, but let's like look at this a little bit deeper. I guess Browns fans, if you're looking for reasons to be optimistic, and I'll preface this by saying this isn't reporting, it's just been me thinking about it the last 24 hours. John Harbaugh and the Ravens last year did want to draft Shedeur Sanders, right? We know that from reporting that came out a few months ago. So they had to at least like him a little bit. So that's thing number one. And number two is just the Harbaugh family, Northeast Ohio, Cleveland connection. We know him and Jim Harbaugh have talked fondly about liking the Browns when they were growing up. We know their parents went on their honeymoon to a Browns exhibition game. Like, there's all these like intangible things that make you start to wonder. I still think, hey, the Browns, John Harbaugh, might be unlikely, but I don't know. Never say never in this league, number one. And there are these kind of like weird little connections that are just enough to make you go, huh, like I wonder, what if, what could this possibly take? What could this look like? And if I'm the Browns, I would be doing, obviously this goes without saying, whatever it takes to try to land the guy, right? Like you have to when somebody like John Harbaugh becomes available.
All right. Well, I mean, I want to see if you buy into this, okay? And if you like it, then just, you know, credit me in the future on it. No big deal. But, like, I don't think it's going to happen, by the way. But, like, where my optimism comes from is the idea that Deshaun Watson had 13 other teams that were interested, and he broke it down to a Final Four when everyone said there was no chance the Browns could get him, and the Browns aren't even serious contenders and all this. They landed him. And so, Barry and Haslam have shown the ability to defy all odds. And if they want something done, they can get it done. And so that gives me some optimism there.
Yeah, man, I'll tell you what, JP, the Deshaun Watson trade and how the Browns executed that definitely framed a lot of how I view covering this team and covering the NFL in general. Like, I always talk about it when we bring up this sort of you can never say never, because not only did people say all those things about the Browns, like, the Browns had been definitively ruled out from grabbing Deshaun Watson. They were out of the running. He was not considering coming here. And then they went back at it again with the fully guaranteed historic contract. So we have seen them operate in this space before where they've been counted out and then they get what they want at the very end. So I'm curious how that all could factor into it, you know, and it'll be interesting to see, I think, how this plays out. I think it's still fair to, like, wonder, hey, this seems like a pretty big long shot, right? But, I mean, the Browns would obviously would have to have interest in getting him. Everyone's going to have interest in getting John Harbaugh to their respective team.
Ashley, does Stefanski to Baltimore scare you?
I mean, I would kind of be shocked if that happened because, like, I don't know that it scares me. I guess it does from the perspective of there's a chance at revenge for two times a year. But look, I think it's unlikely because the Ravens need a defensive-minded coach. I actually think the Ravens, for their sake, it's a good coaching cycle to need a head coach for what they need. That defense is a mess. It needs to be remade. And there's a lot of really good, high-profile defensive names still floating out there. Now, these playoff teams, I think teams are waiting to kind of put in their requests, but we're going to see more of that as the weeks go on. Like, to me, when I saw that yesterday, I'm like, man, ironically, Jesse Minner, who comes from the Harbaugh family tree, kind of like makes perfect sense, the Chargers D coordinator, for what the Ravens need. So for that reason, I would be surprised if Kevin Stefanski landed there. But, you know, I think because Browns fans are so conditioned to these things not working out in their favor, and, you know, is Kevin Stefanski going to be the next Baker Mayfield? I understand some trepidation of, oh gosh, what if he ended up in Baltimore? But I don't think it's very likely.
I talked to a Bengals reporter today, and he made it seem as if Dan Pitcher is above the Browns. What's your read on Dan Pitcher?
You know, I don't think he's above the Browns because we haven't seen Dan Pitcher like do everything from scratch, right? I think he's a really interesting name, and especially from a quarterback development standpoint, but I still kind of think he's like under the radar. And, you know, that to me is like, you haven't seen him put it all together yet, where it's like assembling that offense from scratch, calling the plays, like finding your guy at quarterback. Like, you haven't seen him do that. So for that reason, I think there are some teams out there that would be a bit hesitant maybe to take a chance on him, and maybe him and the Browns would be at like a perfect spot for what each other needs. Like, he needs more of that experience and they need somebody to really work this offense. So I wouldn't say he is above the Browns. I think that's some Cincinnati perception of this team that's not entirely correct.
Yeah, they don't have a good perception of their own team, so I digress.
The quote was, we'll absolutely be a head coach one day. He's an idiot if he takes it.
Yeah. Did you reply, you're the real idiot? That's what I would have done. Ashley, this comes by way of one of the great listeners of the station, Roberto Shenanigans, and I just can't find a way to frame it better so I don't have to give him credit. Do you think Jimmy Haslam would be willing to dump Andrew Berry if that's what it takes to get Harbaugh?
Ooh, that's an interesting question. I think no, just because of the way Jimmy Haslam talked about Andrew Berry this past week. Now, I thought that press availability was interesting because every positive thing he said about Andrew Berry was all from like the last 8 months, right? So I don't know. I mean, who knows what Jimmy Haslam is thinking on any given day? I guess I should just say never, which is my typical answer to those sorts of questions. But it would be definitely like a shocking move if that were to happen. And I don't know why necessarily that would be John Harbaugh's condition for coming here. Like, if that was the only thing, that's kind of odd to me. But it's interesting, I still think, from hearing Jimmy Haslam and talking about Andrew Berry's accomplishments and mentioning the draft class and trading for Malik, or acquiring Malik Collins in free agency, trading for Tyson Campbell, Andre Schmidt. Those are all very recent things. So that sort of recency bias, it's very much a what have you done for me lately league. So I don't know, just always be aware of that and the tide, the potential for the tide turning, I guess.
Yeah, I told Coach Riz last night, you fire Barry to the moon if that's what it takes. Like, you can't let Andrew Berry stand in the way of landing John Harbaugh. If he wants to change out the people that everything down to who fills up the Gatorade in the cooler, I'm cool with it. Whatever you want, John.
That guy's been mailing in for years.
I always say that. But poor end of season reviews from that guy consistently.
Yep. I think his name's Jeremy. Ashley, the report here is Jim Schwartz and Tommy Rees going to be getting head coaching interviews for the Browns tomorrow. I don't know how to ask this in a more polite way. Are these courtesy interviews?
You know, I really don't think they're courtesy interviews, especially on the part of Jim, because, you know, we talked about this last week when my Jim Schwartz big feature story came out. Andrew Berry was the one who was so instrumental in getting Jim Schwartz to Cleveland in the first place. They obviously had their relationship from Philadelphia going back that far. So I think, especially on the part of Jim, this is not doing him a courtesy. I really think Andrew Berry and this front office and this ownership group believe he has earned this opportunity. Jimmy Haslam said they absolutely want to keep him in the building. They think he's a great coach. And I think from everything that I know, they also really like Tommy Rees and view him as this young offensive mind that is going to continue to gain traction throughout his career. Now, I said this last week too, like if I had to pick, Jim would be my pick between the two just because of the experience factor. And you do have to wonder, like, is Tommy Rees ready after only 1 year of calling plays in the NFL? And it's not like he's been in the NFL for an extended period of time like Kevin Stefanski was, even though he also only had 1 year of calling plays when he was first hired by the Browns. So I really don't think either are courtesy interviews. I think people in that building are very fond of both guys. But again, Jim Schwartz in particular, the long connection he has to Andrew Berry kind of points to that to me as well.
What name have we not brought up in this interview that you're fascinated by, intrigued by, want to see the Browns give a good look to, even if it's already on the docket that they are giving a good look to?
Ooh, let me think about that for a second. Because, you know, the interesting thing with this coaching cycle is, like, there aren't a ton of offensive names that are really popping out. Like, Joe Brady in Buffalo is the one people kind of point to. But, look, I think the thing with Joe Brady is Buffalo's obviously had a lot of turnover with their offensive coordinators in recent years. It's not like he's the guy that found and developed Josh Allen. You know, that development of Josh Allen was really Brian Daboll focused more than anything. But the interesting guy, and I don't know how I would feel about this because I think I would still be pro Schwartz, but I've been writing this, and it's this idea of a lot of these defensive names that people are throwing out, Jesse Minner, Chris Shula, Aden Durdy. I'm still trying to figure out how to say that name, guys.
We are too here. We are too.
He did get an interview, but all of those guys, their defenses couldn't be any more different from Jim Schwartz. But there's one guy whose name keeps getting thrown out there who does run a similar system, and it is Robert Saleh. So the interesting thing about Robert Saleh, too, is we know they brought him in for an interview the last time they were hiring for head coach. And if we remember, Kevin Stefanski, they brought him in for an interview in 2019. Obviously, he didn't get it. They went with Freddie. But then they brought him back. So basically, like, we've seen these guys bring somebody back who they have previously brought in. So I would say keep an eye on it. I would still prefer Jim Schwartz. Like, if you love this defense, want to keep it together, and you're going to hire a defensive coach, I don't know why you just wouldn't make it Jim Schwartz at that point. But it'll be interesting to kind of see what other offensive names emerge. Like, I'm really curious outside of Todd Monken, who that might be, because I think that's the route in theory they should be going, is someone to overhaul this offense. But I'm also like, Can you hire a Jim Schwartz and then just get a really good offensive coordinator that you feel very passionately about? And that's another path I'd be curious to see them take.
It's like the old song you used to sing, Ashley, "Try to Catch Me Odd and Dirty." I think we all remember. I remember that song. It was a great song. Many people liked it. Ashley, great stuff. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Ashley.
All right. Thanks, guys. Talk to you next week.
No, sold a great joke there. I mean, we're friends here. Ashley continues to join us. I don't see anybody else making the odd and dirty musicality there. Bleep, everyone. You too. You too for that face. Yeah, the pouty bird face. Yeah.
Every now and then you just hang me out. I'm like, we're just going to let this one sit. You can figure this one out on yourself.
Ross Tucker coming up at 4 o'clock today. Mm-hmm. We'll react to what Ashley had to say. And Jonathan Peterlin could learn a thing or two from old Mel Kiper Jr. In 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.